As our call to worship this morning, let us read our responsive selection, number 68, please. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Hear the word of the Lord as found in the Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter, the 25th verse. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him has God the Father set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Thanks be to God for his marvelous word. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let us all go to him in prayer. O almighty and everlasting God, we praise thy name for thy creation, for the sustaining of our lives, for the joy of Christian fellowship. We praise thee for the privilege that is ours to be a part of this seminary family, and for the work that thou hast called us to do. We pray that thou wilt help us so to be used of thee that we may be a real blessing to others, that our work may be improved in quality, and that it may be of such kind that shall answer the needs of the people who are around us. We pray particularly this morning for those who need thy healing love, Bonnie Shriver and Claude Wells, and others of our seminary family. Wilt thou strengthen and keep them and their loved ones, and wilt thou hasten the day of their full recovery. We pray, Heavenly Father, thy blessing upon our country in this time of crisis, inward and outward. We pray particularly for our president and for others who lead us in affairs of state. Give them of thy wisdom, of thy spirit, and of thy understanding. Save our country from pride and self-satisfaction and Pharisaism. And wilt thou help us to be used of thee, to be a blessing to other nations and to other peoples. We pray thy particular blessing upon those in our own neighborhoods who are being deprived of the better things of life. Wilt thou help us to be good neighbors to them, because we love them and because we know thee and thy love. Wilt thou be with us now and guide us in the worship of this hour, and may all that is said and done be for thy glory and the uplift of thy people. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, this is a time characterized by turmoil and confusion. This is a time when the dispossessed are in rebellion as never before in our country and all around the world. Perhaps for the first time in history, these people have come to know, or at least to believe, that it is not necessary for them to suffer the condition in which they find themselves. They are indeed hungry for bread. They are hungry for beauty, that is, culture, education, a better standard of living. And they're hungry for brotherhood. They desire to be treated as well as the best in our society. But the basic hunger that each and every one of them has, and that each and every one of us has, is a hunger for God, spiritual hunger. Certainly the lesson of the Second World War and the lesson of the Nazi Revolution bears this out. The Nazis had bread. They had beauty or culture. And they had a brotherhood of a sort, but they didn't last long because they didn't have God. For the first time in the history of the world, it seems to me, our young people are more conservative than many of their elders. This conservatism has passed pretty largely in the last few years, but there are still many elements of it. There are many of our young people who are mesmerized almost by the songs of groups. These songs send them into a sort of ecstasy. The rhythm is intoxicating, and the sound is so overwhelming that they have a tendency to be ossified in its presence. I inquired of some of these young people just what words they were singing. And I found that one of the Beatles songs went like this. Nowhere man sitting in his nowhere plans for nobody. He doesn't have a point of view. He doesn't know where he's going to. Now, these young people are telling us that they've lost their direction. They've lost their sense of identity. They've lost a sense of meaning. They've lost an understanding of self. Now I submit to you that Jesus Christ, the bread of life, can feed these hungers, these spiritual hungers, which are very evident in our world. And when I was sitting where you are sitting, we used to attend conventions with banners that were put over the pulpit or over the choir in the back with such phrases and mottos and slogans, Christ is the answer. And we believed it and we went out trying to save a whole world for him. I was of a generation after the one that was Sure, if it had enough faith and enough missionary energy, it could save the world in one generation. But my generation was still idealistic enough to think that the answer was that simple. Now, we know it isn't today, in a sense, but I think we should understand, in a very true sense, it is. When Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the bread of life," he was giving them the truth, meaningful truth and saving truth. For the hungers that we find in the world around us, in disillusioned, successful businessmen, as well as in our young people, in young women and older women who are in a rat race, a Ferris wheel of activity, and yet still hungry in their souls. We know that the basic spiritual hungers can be satisfied by Jesus Christ alone, the bread of life. And by some means, somehow, you and I as Christians have been called to share that bread. And with some scandal of particularity, you and I have been called as ministers of the gospel, both men and women, to give these people this bread, to distribute it for their hungry souls. And when they look up to him and are not fed, when they look to us and are not fed, certainly the judgment of God is upon us. What are some of these spiritual hungers that only the bread of life can feed? The first hunger is a hunger for the understanding of oneself. The basic question of man from the beginning, and particularly in our time, is, what is man? Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be and supposed to do? Does life have any purpose? Is there any meaning in it? In the Iliad, Zeus, the king of gods, is heard to say to his fellow gods, "Of all the things that creep and breathe upon the earth, there's nothing, methinks, so piteous as a man." Why? Because he tries to understand himself. No other living creature has this self-consciousness. And it is this self-consciousness that makes him miserable if he doesn't have a God to give him this understanding. Reinhold Niebuhr, one of the great American theologians of our time, has said, "To understand himself truly, man must begin with the faith that he is understood beyond himself and is known and loved of God, and must find himself in terms of obedience to the divine will." Now, where else but in church is he going to find this understanding? Where else but in church is he going to get this unique gospel? The church may be within the four walls of a building, or it may be in a Christian home, or may it be in a coffee house, or it may be in a little group of Christians who've gone out to play in a band in order to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. But this hunger for an understanding of oneself will never be found apart from a knowledge of the Father God and the elder brother and Savior Jesus Christ. Another great hunger of our time is a hunger for a great cause to which we can give allegiance. And we know that many of our people are promoting causes of one kind or another because it gives them a sense of importance. Some of them have been accused of promoting a cause of the far right one week and a cause of the far left the next week. And in this they found their joy and a sense of meaning. And I think this is to be expected when people continue to look and cannot find the satisfaction for this basic hunger that each and every one of us has. And you and I are fortunate because I think in the Christian ministry we have a cause such as the world does not know, and a cause that can take us in our weakness and make us strong, in our littleness and make us great by the Spirit of God. What a privilege it is to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ still looks at men and sees them as they really are and calls them to their highest self-respect, the supreme dignity of their best selves, a Simon who can become a Peter, sons of thunder that can be great apostles, Saul the persecutor who could become Paul, the great theologian and writer. Blood, sweat, and tears don't frighten us. They feed the wells of our courage. What we need is a great cause to which we can give supreme allegiance. And this is one of the interesting things about our present younger generation. Those who are in Vietnam have a cause that's terrifically complicated and must be most discouraging. But most of them are giving their best to it in a way that we could not really understand in the light of conditions. And other young people are giving their best to the Peace Corps. And gratefully, by the grace of God, many of our youth are giving their best to missions at home and abroad, where people need the witness of Christ. A third great spiritual hunger is a hunger for completeness. And as you've heard me say in another connection, everything moves toward its own completeness, for God has made us that way. And wholeness and health cannot be found except in Jesus Christ, who came that he might make men whole. This is the good news. And the good news is found best of all, and perhaps most strikingly, in the satisfaction for the fourth spiritual hunger. And the last, each and every one of us has a hunger for a new start. We are all guilty. We all make mistakes. We are all sinful, and we realize our sins, and we want to confess our sins. And without a Savior to whom we may confess our sins, and a God whom we know we can trust, not only to forgive us, but to forget, and not call them into account against us forever. Without that God, we're apt to feel like Omar Khayyam's thought, the moving finger writes and having writ moves on, nor all your pity or wit can lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all your tears wash out a word of it. Shaw, in his play Back to Methuselah, has Adam say to Eve as they are in paradise, "We have to live here forever. The horror of having to be with myself forever. I like you, but I don't like myself. I want to be different, to be better, to begin again and again, to shed myself as a snake sheds its skin." Long before Shaw thought of that figure of speech, Paul wrote to his Christian converts, Ephesians 4, 22, 23, "For you have stripped off your old self with its ways and have put on the new self, newly made in the likeness of its creator." You and I know the good news, and we must share the good news that no man needs to stay the way he is. He can start all over again, and his life and his heart can be made new. And so we come to Jesus, and I hope we bring others who need him so much with us. And we hear him say, "I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread, you shall never hunger." You will have an understanding of yourself. You'll have a great cause to which you can give allegiance. You will have that spirit and that power that can bring completeness to your fragmentary life. And your hunger for a new start will be satisfied. "I am the bread of life," he says. And we all reply in unison, O Lord, give us evermore of this bread. Let us pray together. Eternal God, wilt thou forgive us in that we so often pay for and look for and work for bread that does not satisfy. And too often we share with others that which is not really meaningful for them, does not really meet their needs. Forgive us and help us to look to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And help us to feed on this bread. In his name we pray.